Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. A little late to the microphone this time here. Oh, my goodness. Hey, glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. And thanks for joining me and my colleagues, my friends. I would claim them in a dark alley any day. Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, guys.
How do you do?
Good to see you, Steve, and hear you.
Good to see you. And if anybody wants to join us, you know, we've got all of the calls lined up that we can take during this particular time here. But this is last day of November. Whoa. And, you know, we've got this goal at year end. And here's what we need. Between now and, of course, most of our support, so often it comes in here year in. So this may sound like a lot, but we'll make it if you'll help us. It's $1.5 million is our year-in goal. That's to meet our financial obligations. And, you know, you guys have seen it. You've seen what supporting us. You've seen the difference that it makes. Both of you have sent folks to our workshops. You've led our workshops. I mean, we've talked to people at the workshops that all they did before the workshop was listen to the program, and it saved their lives, and then they go to the next level. But when you give to this ministry, I mean, everything, it's either radio time, there's a little bit of money for the staff and administration, but our budget's pretty low, but we're buying radio time, or we're doing these workshops to try to transform lives. That's what we do, and you guys have seen the results.
I think it's outstanding. Every time we do a workshop of any kind, we get glowing reports as to how this workshop has changed the people's lives. Because listening to the radio takes you to one level. Like you say many times, Steve, for a lot of people, this is the only therapy they're going to get. But then the next step that people take is when they enter into community, where there's transparency and vulnerability, and there's leadership to help to take them from point A to point B in their life. And that's what our workshops do. And it's just incredible to see the life transformation that takes place.
Well, go ahead, Dave.
You saw it, and I saw it, and when we were in Greece with the tour, 200 people there. And Steve, you asked those who had been helped by, whose life had been changed by New Life, over half the group stood up. And then they shared with us stories, and it was just an awesome experience to know that not only that there are people listening, but there are people being changed daily because of the ministry of New Life.
No, it's true. Your support, it's one of the most direct means by which you can get service to a person, because maybe we use it for scholarship or to put on the workshop, or it's just this right here. And we love getting to have access to folks and to help them. And we'll send you a calendar for 2018 as our way of saying thank you. But we've got obligations to meet, and every year we have a number. And this year it's $1.5 million. If you can help us, well, please do. I was going to go to a phone call, but time is up. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break, and we'll come right back after this. You are listening to New Life Live, and are we ever glad that you are. We want to help you. We want to do anything we can do to help this be the greatest year coming, 2018. And, you know, you think about Christmas coming up. Give your family a gift. Go to a workshop. Read a book that you never thought you'd read. Go see the counselor you never thought you'd see. Go to a support group. Start a New Life group. Whatever you can do. Give yourself, your new self, give your new life as a gift to the family this Christmas. They'll thank you, and God will be honored. We'll be back after this.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done, because during the day we had these workshops, and at night we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Yurkovich. And Milan has written How We Love, and How We Love Our Kids also. There's a new revised version. It's just fantastic. Please. Go get it or order it from 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Smart Love by Dr. Dave Stoop. And then we've got Take Your Life Back. That's the one that we were on Focus on the Family over last week. And I hope and pray that something good will come from you reading those. My wife and I on the 30th, well, today we're actually taking our lives back. We're with Dennis Rainey, and we're taping a program, two programs there, one on bonus parenting, and the other one on the Mediterranean Love Plan. That's what we're doing down in Arkansas.
Well, yeah. We were just on this earlier this week with Jan, and I were on Focus on the Family with the Smart Love.
Smart Love. Yeah. So don't be stupid. Get a copy of that book, Smart Love. You will absolutely love it. All right, let's go. Here we go. Let's talk.
Are we going to go back to Kendra?
Kendra, Washington, D.C. Hey, Kendra. Hi.
Hey.
Welcome back.
thank you so much. I have a problem. I kind of feel like I'm chasing my father in a way. I released this book. I wrote and released this book, and in it I write about the abuse that I dealt with him. He was very verbally abusive. He called me ugly all the time. He called me the B word, and my mom died when I was 10. He would talk about her to me, and just very, very verbally abusive. And I wrote about that in my book. And before I even released the book, before I had a chance to talk to him about it, one of my aunts, his sister, told him. So I didn't even have a chance to let him know that I was writing my story. So it's actually about to be a year since he's spoken to me. And he was just like, I don't have anything to say to you. And I tried to explain to him that I didn't write my story to try to make you look bad, but this is just about my healing. It's about helping other people that's gone through the same thing, but he hasn't wanted to hear it. And I'm just, you know, his sisters are kind of like coming against me. One of my aunts told me, you know, basically to just get over it. She said he was just showing tough love, and it's kind of like they're against me.
Okay.
And
so what's the question for us then?
So I'm just wanting to know, like, I don't know how to, you know, relay to him that it wasn't, I never wrote my book to try to make him look bad. The book is not about him. It's about me.
Well, hold on a second.
I don't know
hold
how
on
to
a
relay
second.
That to him.
A man that would call his daughter the B word, in a million years, did you ever think that he would have one good thing to say about a book that told the truth about him?
No.
No,
and that's why I wanted to talk to him before I put
well,
it out.
But that didn't happen, but I think his response would have been exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear from Dave and Milan on this. I mean, this guy, he abused her, and she's she's written about it in a book. I can't imagine any other outcome that other than he's not going to speak to her.
Well, and his sisters are defending him, and in defending that type of behavior, there's nothing much you can do about that. I would write him a note and just say, you know, I'm sorry you don't feel like you can talk to me anymore. And what you were just saying, you know, I wrote the book about me, not really about you. And I was truthful, and that's how I experienced it. And I'm sorry that you're offended by it. And just close the chapter, because
I wrote a letter and I left it at his house. I actually slid it under the door. He wasn't answering my calls or anything. So I wrote a letter shortly after that last year when he first found out, and I told him. And it was the first time I ever really poured my heart out to him, and I told him how much it hurt when he called me those things and how it affected me going into adulthood. And you know, and one of my family members told me that the note made him even madder, and I thought that that would have made him.
No,
like,
you're dealing with a man who has no ability to take to understand your side of the experience. And if you've already sent the letter, then basically what you need to do is to close the chapter and say there's nothing more I can do. I did my part, and release it, because trying harder to get him to understand will just lead to more of the same kind of behavior.
Yeah. Milan, any thoughts on this?
Sure. Kendra, I'm so sorry this happened to you. But how long have you wanted to have your daddy love you?
All my life.
Sure. And so that doesn't stop. And I get that we want to reach the people who rejected us, and we want to establish love with our biological parents and the ones who are around us. The number of adults that we talk to in our offices, at our workshops, here on the radio and TV, that are trying to still reconcile with parents who were unkind, abusive, or traumatizing to the child. It's many, many people, just like yourself, wanting to reestablish love or affirm or somehow receive love. One of the things we do, and you made a choice by writing a book, and one of the things we do for ourselves as people and for the people who come into our offices is, if they've been traumatized and abused, one of the ways that they further their healing process is by beginning to tell their story. And as they begin to tell their story, the story has less power over them, and they have more power over the story. Mm-hmm. And so all traumatized, abused people need to learn to develop their story and begin to tell it. And you did that. Now, the perpetrators, therefore, are going to have to suffer now. You see, what they did behind closed doors, nobody knew. But now people will find out. As soon as we tell our story, people are going to find out, oh, your home wasn't quite what I thought it was. Or this confirmed what I thought I saw in you. And that's part of the courage of telling a story, that we will alienate people who've already alienated us, Kendra. And so I think what Dave just said and what Steve just said about giving up, I'm trying to challenge you to even give up that you may not have a daddy who ever says to you, I love you, Kendra.
Well, and there's the promise in Psalm 68:5 where God says, I'll be a father to the fatherless.
Yes.
And that's where you turn and let him fulfill those father needs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, everybody's like, your father loves you. Like, he even said that when I was, you know, a teenager living with him, and he used to always say, I love you so much, I would die for you, I would kill for you, and all of this. But I'm just telling, like, my family, like, I don't see that. Like, everybody's telling me your dad loves you so much, but when I call him, he's not answering. Like, I've been trying to have a relationship with him. Like, my daughter, that's his granddaughter. Like, I would think in this past year he would at least reach out to see how she's doing, and he hasn't.
Well, it shows how wounded a man he is in his own context, but he has no insight into his own woundedness. And that's a hopeless kind of situation for it to be different, because he can't see what he's doing as being hurtful, because he can't take the other person's perspective. He only has his own perspective, and he can rationalize that any way he wants. So you have to let go of your expectations from him, because all that's going to do is just continue to wound you and hurt you. and then turn to God and allow Him to father the fatherless parts of you, because He's the perfect father.
I don't think Shakespeare said this, but I do think it's pretty valuable advice or a statement. Quote, talk is cheap. Your dad said he loved you, and there's nothing that supports that other than what he said. You know, so trust what you've seen, mm-hmm. not what comes out of his mouth.
Well, that's what James says in the book of James. You know, you can tell me you have faith, mm-hmm. and you can tell me these things, but show me that you have faith. Show me what you believe by your behaviors. And love is shown. It's not just stated.
So now the goal is you grieve what you never had, what mm-hmm. he never gave you. Mm. You come to accept that. You come to forgive it, and then you can be free from this. But you're not going to be free sitting around waiting for him to do all the things that everybody else is saying is inside of him, or he's saying inside himself. I'm really glad you called, and I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Isn't that the new title,
Dave?
That's
the new title, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Send that to
you.
You'll
never forget.
Yeah, and I hope and pray that's going to help you. And in fact, I'll send you another book, too. Anybody else can get these, part of our product, Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Kathy, Atlanta, Georgia, listens on the Internet. Hi there. How you doing, Kathy? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks so much for taking my call. Really, really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and state my question, but I'll have to give context afterwards. How can I respond to my son's live-in girlfriend? She's still going through a divorce. She has a 5-year-old daughter, and our son moved in with her when his divorce wasn't quite final. It's final now. And I don't quite know how to respond. I don't know whether to relate after her divorce is final. I just don't know how to do it. I really want to do what God wants me to do, not what my son wants or what she wants. I want to do what's best, and I'm really struggling with it emotionally. I mean, matter of fact, I've hardly slept through the night since June when we first met her and found out they were living together. So I'm just trying to do the right thing.
Well, what about your son? I mean, what's your response to your son?
Oh, I'm communicating with him every week, and I send him a text.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference? I mean, she didn't do this. It's your son.
No. Well, but she's still married,
but he's with her. But your son's with her.
Yes, he is. You're right.
Okay.
You're right. I know. It seems inconsistent. I wanted to support him emotionally because I knew he was wounded because of his divorce too.
She's wounded.
And she's wounded too. I know.
I would be really trying to connect with him. And what about his dad? Relationship with his dad. What's that all about?
My son, he has a pretty good relationship. He has a very good relationship with his dad, as far as them loving each other. And he doesn't talk a whole lot with his dad about personal things. And he probably uh-huh. talks to him more than he does to me. Actually, our uh-huh. son's always been very. Kept himself very much about his feelings and thoughts, and he really doesn't communicate that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying very hard to be welcoming and loving towards him, but I just don't mm-hmm. know what I just. I mean, I'm looking biblically. I'm just thinking, what if she's still divorced and they're committing adultery? I don't know what to do, except I know I can't close the door on my son.
I wouldn't make that your focus, that they're still not divorced. I would make it seems like the real issue for you is that they're living together. They're not being faithful to what God wants.
Well, and the little 5-year-old girl that's with them too, I'm concerned about her very much, and what they're doing in front of her as far as living with each other. And they both say they're Christian.
They're filling in a hole in their heart, because when somebody divorces, there's a part of their heart that's ripped away. Regardless of how bad the situation was, because there were expectations and hopes, and they're kind of putting a square peg in a round hole, because a lot of couples don't stay together because in that kind of a situation, because they're rebounding to the marriage divorce and failure thing, and they're trying to avoid the pain of healing. So I would be gracious to her. I'd be gracious to your son. I would be honest with them in terms of the disappointment you have. But don't cut them off, because, and don't worry about the still married. The getting divorced and finalizing the divorce doesn't justify what they're doing. If you if you are technically looking at it from God's perspective. But the thing that they're doing that's humanly speaking is they're trying to solve a problem by a quick fix rather than allowing themselves to go through a healing process. And that's going to affect any future that they have together.
I know, and that's what's so disturbing. And she's very young. She's still in her 20s. He's in his 40s. And he only had a four-year marriage, so... It's really been, and I've been grieving. I mean, honestly, when she reached out to me when they first started living together, and I said, I don't even know if I can. I don't know if I can relate right now. I'm grieving too much.
Well, here's what I would do. I would encourage your husband, even though you say they have a strong relationship, I would encourage him to repair his relationship with your son.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're absolutely back. Really glad you're with us here today. And I want to ask you to help us, support us. One of the things that we've done this past year is Covenant Eyes. And if you haven't explored Covenant Eyes, it really can be a great thing. It's a great internet filter. It has an accountability piece. It's an accountability tool, sends reports to other folks. Great for building trust when you've lost it. You can get 30 days free by using the code NLM. Just look for the Covenant Eyes link on our newlife.com website, and I think it will bless you greatly.
So what's the code again?
NLM, New Life, Life Ministry. Yeah.
NLM.
Yeah.
Okay. And, it sounded like you said NLM.
Yeah, and by the way, tomorrow is Every Man's Battle right there in Dallas, so it's not too late. You could still get in. What a great gift that would be to your family that you go and take care of that problem. All right, let's go to Jeff. Raymond Washington, KACS, is the station. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
It's okay.
Good. What's going on?
So I have this question that's been bothering me for a while.
Okay.
In regards to God and my action to show people that I believe in him. I listened to the radio yesterday, and it says, well, people that believe in God will act in kind of that. They'll speak it, and they'll do kind things, and I have no problems with that. But what it is I have no desire to do that with society from my heart. My mind says, yes, let's go mm-hmm. ahead. But my heart's not. And so to make this easy for me to accept it says in Psalms, excuse me if I sound scrambled because that's what I am.
Mm.
It says in Psalms 90, 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and mm-hmm. establish thou work of our hands upon us, and yea, our work of our hands establish thou it. Well, I work with my hands. I'm an artist, and I do things. I make some really cool stuff. And I get satisfied with that when I think that it might make somebody happy. So I never given up on God, but a long time ago, when I was a teenager, I had a trust issue with people that went to church. They would say, you know, do this, do that. They would read the Bible and say they're Christians and all, but we just didn't get along because it was being conflictive. But I go to church now. I used to not go to church with people in it, and I do now. And yeah. I've always had a confidence. I have confidence all day long with myself, by myself.
Sure.
Okay, so what's the question for us? What were you wanting us to help you with when you called? We want to help
you. If what I do without actually helping other people, which is a conscious thought for me, but my heart is not there. My heart hasn't felt love or acceptance for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I lost my health. That was collateral damage in an industrial accident and made me very ill. And that was one thing that relieved me of it. So I use my... I don't have that yearning. And that's what usually drove me before.
Well, okay. But you say you do art that makes people happy. Isn't that what you're describing?
Yes. Is that good enough to... is that acceptable in God's eyes? Because I listened to the program yesterday, and I try to help people out, but very, very little do I do because I'm too busy surviving here at my place. And I don't think as clear as other people. And so it's hard for me to carry on conversations to a certain extent, but I'm just not the person I used to be, and I haven't got used to that. But
let me give you some direction here, okay? Here's what I think. I think that there was within you, within your personality, your experience, whatever, a need to kind of separate and hold yourself apart, protect yourself from unkind or insincere people. And so you did that, and you used, you know, all the insincere folks in church as kind of a way to do that. So you're not really into people. So how do you get into people? How do you care and have compassion for them? Well, you have to practice. And to me, the best kind of practice, it's not going to see a therapist, but it's getting in a support group where there are other people. Where you can say out loud, nobody's going to be mad at you. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm a Christian, I don't really care about you people. And they go, yeah, I know, I've been there too. I've felt that way. And you start little by little to find that you can be open and honest with folks and not be rejected, that there are real, live, genuine people in this world that are good folks that call themselves Christians. Mylon, Davey, you guys have any thoughts on how do you get to that place where you really do care and want to reach out to other folks?
Well, I think you pray about it
and
ask
good.
God to create opportunities for you and help you to recognize them. But it's practice. It's not something that just automatically fixes by itself.
Yeah.
And also see that what you do in your art is a means of connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But is that good enough in God's eyes, though?
Sure it is.
Okay.
It's good. It's good in God's eyes. I don't know if it's good enough or not, but it's good in God's eyes.
But Steve is right about somehow immersing into community.
Yeah.
Even if it's at a restricted small level, just so you can begin to get used to the presence of other people.
All right, we'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we were just discussing that last call, and the point that sometimes we develop these survival strategies during childhood, but as an adult, they don't work anymore, or we want something more. And that's a great maturing place to be, where you say, I think it's time to move on. I think it's time to move to the next level. Let me tell you about some support here. Dwayne and Erica from Elgin, Illinois, just gave $200. Christopher from Capitol Heights, Maryland, $50 toward our goal here. And then Tom and Lori of Springfield, Nebraska, they joined Club New Life at $30 a month. Thank you guys for that kind of support, that kind of response. We're so grateful to you for that. Let's go back to the phones now. And I'm going to send Take Your Life back to our previous caller. I think he's going to like that. But let's go over here to Terry, Columbus, Ohio. Great, great state. Columbus, Ohio. How you doing? What's going on?
Hi, I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How can we help you today?
Excellent. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you guys, and thank you so much for your ministry and your help. I'm a financial supporter, and I support you in my prayers. My situation is that I have a brother in his mid-60s who just remarried, a nice woman in her early 60s. They were both widowed. Both strong Christians. Well, what's happening is it seems like he is forsaking his own family for hers. And they just got married. They had known each other about 18 months, and he has kids and a ton of grandkids. He's got like 13 or 14 grandkids, and then she's got, you know, adult children and a couple of grandkids, but he's been spending almost all of his time with her and her family, and our family's really hurting. We can't seem to communicate that this is hurtful to us because, you know, the kids see pictures on social media and stuff, and they're like, you know, how come Grandpa won't take us to the zoo, and how come Grandpa won't take us on vacation with him, and he used to do all that stuff. He was very active in his grandchildren's life. Don't know what to do. I'm his sister, so I'm a little bit removed from it. But his daughters and his grandkids are suffering. Well, and we can't seem to resolve this.
Let me make an off the wall suggestion. Why don't you get the kids and the grandkids to all write get a miss you card from the stationery store, and all write him a note about how they're missing, and send them all at the same time in separate envelopes. Just let him know.
That's a great idea.
Why not?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Great idea, Dave. I like that. Yeah. If that doesn't get to him, I don't know of anything it will.
And no guilting him, just missing him.
Mylon, you have a thought on the why question that might be able to be communicated to these kids?
Well, I had an answer for the first part of your question.
We'll do that then.
Not the second part, when you said, do I have an answer as to the why to communicate to the kids? No, I'm not sure what to say to the kids.
Yeah.
But as to the why, at some level, Terry, your brother is allowing his wife's will to dominate his.
That's absolutely true. We hardly know her.
Well,
I mean, she made very little effort to get to know us before they married.
So at some level, then, he is in a new relationship where he loves a person who is more dominant than he is. And he may not have, at 65 years old, an adult voice to be able to tell her we are imbalanced. And so the issue is, yes, you're hurt, but to have a private conversation with your brother over coffee and to be able to say to him, are you brave enough to tell your new wife that our lives are not in balance? Or A, do you see that? And then B, it could be frightening for you to say that, because he may be a person who's not resisting and she's just naturally dominating. And I see that a lot in my office. And a lot of times people are not even aware that that's what's happening. They're so enamored with this new love relationship.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate. It's just that they've forsaken all family traditions.
Well, but you see, he's forsaking because he's afraid to say or do something, or he's unaware. So what you need to do is first address, are you aware that this imbalance is here? Number two, is it hard for you to oppose your new wife's wishes on any given day? What happens if you say no to your wife? What happens then? And you see, those will begin to help you understand what your brother's up against, and to help you understand it.
And the only other thing I can think of would be, you know, sometimes men, they feel like they've messed up so many things. And they just want to start over. And they don't care that they're leaving people behind and other folks are going to be hurt and stuff. I hope that's not it, because that's harder, I think, to repair than that conversation saying, hey, do you realize here that it's not balanced? And are you willing to have that conversation with her?
Because
he needs to have it.
He's always had a pretty good relationship with his kids and grandkids up until this relationship. And then, you know, he's even said the words, I'll never let anything come between me and my wife.
Well,
and nobody wants to come between them.
Well, but see, that's your driving statement, you know.
Yeah.
And who's putting that idea in his head? It may be the wife
who says,
I have to have number one priority to you, instead of somehow going to counseling before they got married and realizing we have lives and relationships that have existed way before we ever met, and we must maintain those. How able are you, new wife, new husband, to share me with other people? And that may be the question.
So if you're going to send cards from all the kids and grandkids, send it to both of them.
Yeah.
There you go. I love that.
Mr. Here's and Mrs. Truth. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we get to see what are her true colors. All right. Let's go to Hannah, Knoxville, Tennessee. She listens on the podcast. Hannah, how you doing? How can we help you? Hi.
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'll tell you a little bit about my situation. I applied for a job where I currently work, and I've been here for 7 years.
Okay.
And it was a promotion job, and I did not get that job. So there may be others coming open in the future, but I applied several other places, one of those being out of state because they don't come within many within one city.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to an interview, and this is 8 hours away from home, and
yeah.
I felt like the interview went well. I have not gotten a job offer yet, but I feel like it is likely that I may get one. My dilemma is that I'm not sure if the right decision would be to move away because I don't want the fear of doing that to hold me back. But I also don't want to be so focused on my career that I leave a lot of family and friends behind and I don't do the right thing. So it's very hard to tell what God's direction is in situations that are so life-changing.
Okay, let me hear from the guys. I got a couple things I want to add after they throw in their 2 cents. What do you guys think? Does she move, or should she stay, or should she go? The ultimate question of the universe. Should I stay, or should I go?
I think it's an emotional question, Hannah, and you already told us that, where you said fear. And so have you ever asked yourself, am I agoraphobic? That is, I don't like to leave my environment around me.
I do like to travel. I do like to leave. However, although I went to college, it was within about an hour of where I am now. This would be moving about 8 hours away from family and friends.
So you're talking so it may not be agoraphobic, but what you're saying is it's hard to let go of home base at 29 years old.
It is, yes.
Okay, so that's the issue. And to address the fear of letting go of home base, realizing that 8 hours away is different than 1 hour away. And so how fearful do you become with that level of distance? How anxious do you feel? How panicky do you feel when you can't have that 1 hour connection? And that's where I'd spend some time looking at if I were you.
Well, and I think you really can't decide until you know the facts.
Sure.
And until they give you an offer, and it depends on how much the salary is, and you weigh that. And it sounds like the family relationships and the friends are very, very important to you. So there would have to be a lot of pluses to an offer 8 hours away.
Especially so Hannah, do you resonate with the word anxiety at all?
Yes.
Okay, so anxiety anticipates dilemmas, and anxiety anticipates catastrophic things. And that's why you don't have this job yet, but you're worrying about it. And so it's really an anxiety issue that you have to face, which is...
Okay.
Something that we can maybe talk about right after the break.
Yeah, let's talk right after this. We'll be back.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
Like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back.
The cause that.
Hannah, are you still there? Hannah, you still there? I hope she's still there.
Oh, there's Hannah.
Hannah?
Yes.
Hi. Okay, so here's what I said at the break. I think you should move if you get the job offer, and it's the right kind of money and all that, because you're 29, you're still at home. But I think you should move after you go to that town and do your research and find the church that you think would be great and join a home group in that church. So now you've got people when you move. Mm-hmm. I'd find a counselor to help you with the transition. And I would even find a support group of some kind, or a women's Bible study. I would have all of that in place. Otherwise, you'll move and just move right back. But I think if you did your homework, this could be the greatest thing ever if the job offer is good. Milan had a couple of things he wanted to add to this.
Well, I'm only saying that anxiety constricts us. And anxiety mm-hmm. is the great constrictor. It keeps us from venturing out. And so we need to address the anxiety and how pervasive it is in my life. I grew up as a very anxious child, adolescent, early young adult. And my life changed the day I went on an antidepressant to ease that anxiety. I could then venture out more. I could risk more. I could do more things. I could actually become an adult. If your family created that anxiety, in order to escape the gravitational field of your family, you need to be able to step away from it, and that's really an attestation as to how well the family did. The more I'm constricted, it's a statement about there's something unhealthy here that I need to learn to be able to differentiate from. And so I really want you to encourage you to really address the anxiety issue you're facing.
But between now and when you get a response from that company, I would assume that I'm not going to take the offer unless it's something that is so outstanding I can't resist.
Yeah.
And that will reduce your anxiety between now and then, because that's the time when the anxiety is going to be the greatest, because you don't know the outcome. You think that you're going to get the offer, but you don't know that you're going to get the offer.
And let me just say this. My wife in her recovery groups, they had this saying, we do it afraid.
Oh, I like that.
I love it. We're not stagnant. We don't let it keep us. We do it. And while we're afraid, we do it afraid. I just think that'd be a great, you know, if you get the right offer, I'm going to do this afraid. All right.
And then follow the steps that Mylan and you outlined.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to send you Mylan's book, How We Love. You'll find yourself in there and kind of the style that you've taken on. Let's go to Phil Stockton, California, Sirius XM. You're my final caller, but we did want to get to your call. How you doing? What could we help you with today?
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, don't have a lot of time, so you'll have to get right to that question.
Okay, so my wife lost her dad about 2 years ago in July.
Okay.
And she left and went back home. And she's been living with her family the whole time.
Oh.
And I'm an over-the-road truck driver, but I talk about coming off the road frequently and us reconciling and getting our life back together. But nothing ever happens. I can never make anything happen. So I'm looking for some help.
Okay, so are you saying if she'll come back to you, you'll get off the road, or you tell her you'll get off the road, but you never are able to get off the road?
No, the first thing you said, that we will get back together. We talk about it, but
why don't you just get off the road? Why don't you get off the road and see if she'll come back?
Well, I could, I guess.
Mylan, Dave, you guys have a good suggestion?
It sounds like there's more going on than the death of her father, that there was something going on within the marriage issue that wasn't being addressed, and she just took that chance to say, I'm not going back. And you got to address that, whatever that issue was.
Okay.
If you don't know what the issue is, you got to find it out. But
do you know what it would be?
Well, yeah, we kind of had a rocky relationship before she left. That's for sure.
Well, find out why it was rocky, and say we need to deal with this issue, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be available to deal with it, so we can get beyond it and build the kind of marriage we wanted to have.
What was her biggest complaint before she left?
Well, it was kind of a blanket complaint. She said nobody would listen to her out there, and that. So I was grouped into that, and that's probably true. Not totally true, but some true. You know, we had adult kids living with us. She doesn't like where we live. She doesn't like the state. Doesn't like the city. Doesn't like the house. And so anytime I talk about, well, let's get a place back in Louisville where she's from, it just she'll never pull the trigger on it. She'll never really do anything to get it. But yet she's living in a house with her mother, her sister, nieces, nephew, her daughter, her grandmother.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. Mylan, you have a final thing you want to suggest here? Because my suggestion is get off the road, go see a counselor, tell him I want to learn how to listen, and tell your wife, hey, I'm off the road, I'm learning to listen. Any thoughts there, Mylan?
Well, just that the reason she's not leaving there, she's comfortable there. She can be almost a little girl again. She can have somebody take care of her, you know, mom, sisters, cousins, grandmas. And she's just basically maybe has jumped back into the family system where she's little again, and so that's comfortable. And so you'd have to move toward a counselor who can help, even if she comes out to see you or you go see her for the holidays, where you're meeting with a counselor. It helps to get down to what are the issues here, because unless you have a diagnosis of what the issues are, you can't do anything.
Okay. I hope that's helpful. Now,
yeah, tough situation, Phil.
I'll send you two things. I'm going to send you Dave's book, Smart Love, and then I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I hope that might give you some help there. Tomorrow in Dallas, in Washington, right there in Dallas, and it'll be in D.C. in January, but tomorrow, Every Man's Battle. Why don't you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? If your husband or ex-husband needs to go, let's try to get him in. Or if you're a man and you need to
go. Or your son. How about your son needs that?
There you go. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Living Light, January the 26th. Pray for my wife and I. We're taping a show right now on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine. Pray for that, please. And then we've got Intimacy and Marriage, February the 16th. Restore, February 23rd. Take Your Life Back is March the 16th. A gift of any amount toward this $1.5 million goal, this year-end goal. We have it every year, but that's our number this year. We'll send you our wall calendar. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of New Life. It's our 30th anniversary next year. We want it to be a great one, but we can't without your support. You have come through for us in the past, and if you've never come through, if you've never supported what you listen to, would you do it right now here on the final day of November? Please help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE and saying, I want to be part of the New Life giving family. Please do it. I know God will bless you in return. It may not be financially. I mean, if you just give to get money back, might as well go to Vegas and bet your money there. The odds are greater. But what you do get is knowing that every time somebody's helped, you're part of that. You're part of their story, because we're in this together. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. God bless you. And my grace, thanks to Mylan and Dave, and everybody else that prays and supports and listens. You have a great day today. We're going to see you right here tomorrow on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.